ladylike the flower fair. Someday you'll have to fall, and you can find me standing there to catch you if you call. Tossing hair raven, eyes a flashing blue, all the living that you're saving won't buy your dreams for you.
Angel Spit!
Hey, this is Zeus Von Rock from Angel Spit, and you are listening to WMUC-FM, College Park.
Did you know that the University of Maryland is one of the 50 fittest colleges in America? Our state-of-the-art Epley Recreation Center, School of Public Health, Ritchie Coliseum, and Cole Fieldhouse have a number of resources that help keep Terps happy, active, and healthy. Join the daily group fitness workouts, request a personal trainer, or own your independence and build your own training plan. Exercise can improve muscle strength and boost your endurance and confidence. Feel better and live longer.
Welcome in. A couple minutes behind here, but you are listening to WMUC Radio here on 90.5, straight out of College Park. My name is Jack Wynn. I am your host of Winning Time, your favorite sports talk show here in the DMV area. We have a lot to talk about. It has been an unbelievable week of sports. I'm very excited to get started. I'm looking at my notes right now. We've got a lot of really great topics. We're going to talk about the NBA, the playoffs coming up, the awards. We're going to talk about the WNBA, the Masters, some NFL draft news, maybe even debuting a mock draft in the second hour. It's going to be a good one. I'm excited to get into it. Okay, so to start off, the NBA playoffs are coming up. The play-in tournament begins tonight. I'm very excited. The NBA playoffs are one of my favorite playoffs in sports, because the NBA has gotten to a point where the regular season doesn't hold nearly as much weight as it used to. Granted, this was a fun regular season. There were a lot of really great games, a lot of really surprising performances, some breakout players, getting to see teams like the Pistons and Spurs go from the bottom of the league 2 years ago to now, you know, the top of their conferences pretty much. So cool to see those turnarounds, cool to see players stepping up and having great seasons. But we're going to do our award ballot because we do want to recognize the players who have been exceptional throughout the year. They're going to announce these at the end of the season. However, this is a regular season award, keep in mind. A lot of the time people watch the playoffs, they say, how is this guy not MVP? How is this guy not the defensive player of the year? It's a regular season award. You know, the playoffs have their own thing. So, your winning time winners of the NBA awards, starting off with the league MVP. Now, this was, without a doubt, one of the closest award races that we've had ever. It was an exceptional season from an MVP standpoint. And there were just a lot of players who were deserving. Any other year, I feel like the top four guys could have won MVP. However, it can only go to one person, and my vote is for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He had a historic season. He is the reigning MVP and finals MVP, not to mention an all-defensive-level player, all-NBA defensive-level player. And he is a 30-point-per-game scorer on a 60-plus win team. In the history of the NBA, guys who have hit those marks, all of them have won MVP. I expect Shai to do the same. I want to shout out some of his, you know, peers in this MVP race, because Victor Wembanyama had a phenomenal season. He's one of the best defenders in the league. Now he's having one of the most, you know, one of the biggest impacts on a franchise that we've seen a young player come in and have, what he's doing with the Spurs. Luka Doncic, technically, he's not currently eligible for awards given the 65-game rule in the NBA. If you don't play at least 20 minutes in 65 of the games, you're not eligible for awards. However, Luka's probably going to appeal that. He had a game that he was taken out of early that didn't really count for him, so we'll see how that ends up. Either way, he had a phenomenal season, averaged nearly 40 points per game for an entire month, turned the Lakers season completely around. He absolutely deserves recognition. And Nikola Jokic, averaging a near 30-point triple-double. Not much to say about that. But despite the incredible performances, Shai had the best season. He is the reigning champion of everything, as I mentioned. He deserves the title of best player in the league. He is clearly the engine of one of the best teams of the decade. And I'm excited to see how he does in the playoffs. See if he can be a reigning finals MVP as well. Okay. Defensive player of the year. This one, we don't really even have nominees. It's just going to be Wemby. Victor Wembanyama is the best defensive player of the league. I fully expect him to win more than one award throughout his career. One, at least more than just the one defensive player of the year. He's probably going to start stacking these up. He has a defensive gravity and defensive presence that we haven't seen in a very long time. The way he's able to deter shots, prevent other teams from playing inside, it completely changes the way that you have to scheme when you play the Spurs, because you know that playing inside the paint is going to be so much more difficult. So nobody really comes close to what Wemby's doing. He's averaging over 3 blocks a game, nearly 5 combined steals and blocks a game. Just an incredibly talented player. He deserves Defensive Player of the Year. Next, Rookie of the Year. This one was close. Your nominees were Con Knuppel of the Hornets and Cooper Flagg of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, Con Knuppel did lead the league in threes and did help the Hornets, you know, move into the play-in tournament after being, you know, dreadful last year. However, my vote goes to Cooper Flagg. What we saw from him over the last few weeks of the season was truly phenomenal. It's just clear when you watch that he is the best player in this draft class. I feel like Cooper Flagg is going to be a true superstar in this league. And we saw plenty of flashes this season that would suggest it. So he's my vote for Rookie of the Year. Sixth Man of the Year, I'm giving it to Keldon Johnson on the Spurs. He's a heavy favorite right now. He's a great defender and a very versatile scorer. Jamie Jacquez Jr. of the Miami Heat, also going to be in that conversation, but I do expect it to go to Keldon Johnson. Most improved, this one's kind of a layup. Nickeil Alexander-Walker. He was drafted very high over a decade ago and was very underwhelming. He's had a journeyman career trying to find a role in the league. Last year, he started to figure it out on the bench, but this year, out of nowhere, averaging over 20 points per game, one of the best players in Atlanta, a driving force of a team that's really taken a step up this year. Shout out to Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Also, shout out to Denny Avija, who is averaging 24 points and could have been an all-star this year. Or maybe, well, I believe he was. Just a very talented player. So that's my award ballot. Once again, Shea for MVP, Wemby for defensive player, Cooper Flagg for Rookie of the Year. Those are the big ones. And shout out to all of those players. Congratulations to them for winning, you know, my personal awards. I'm sure that it means a lot to them. So we're going to move now forwards and we're going to look towards the playoffs. And I'm very excited for the playoffs. As I said at the top of the show, this is when we start to see the best players in the league really step up. This is when we see what they've been building all year really come together. And in a 7-game series, they compete to determine which team is truly the best. 7-game series are unique in that way, because when you've got the one-and-done tournaments like March Madness or the NFL playoffs, anything can really happen. It's any given game. You never know. You can have a bad day, and your season could be over. In the NBA, you've got 7 games to prove it. You can drop one and still manage to come back. So the best teams are usually the ones that are able to come through, the ones who are able to fight through adversity and go on a title run. So we're going to start in the West, because I think the West is more fun. And we're going to start in the play-in. A couple games tonight. And I'm going to pick the Phoenix Suns over the Trailblazers. I think this one's pretty straight up. The Trailblazers don't really have a player that I think is a reliable star at this moment, somebody who is going to come through. I think the Suns have been in these kind of playoff situations before. I expect them to get it done. Warriors over Clippers. This is the most exciting play-in game of the next couple of days for sure. Getting Steph Curry versus Kawhi Leonard, two legends who have been playing almost at the level they were in their primes this season. Granted, Steph Curry's been out recently. He came back, had a big game against the Rockets. We'll see if he's able to, you know, keep that momentum going. But if we get Steph versus Kawhi at their best, that's going to be an entertaining one. I just think Steph is ready to come through. And then I've got Warriors over Blazers to clinch the 8 seed. So that leaves in round one, Thunder versus Golden State, the Spurs versus the Suns, Nuggets versus Timberwolves, and Rockets versus Lakers. So I am picking the Thunder over the Warriors in round one. I've got the Thunder winning in 5 games. The Thunder are just a superior team to Golden State in pretty much every way. And I think Steph Curry is maybe capable of going nuclear one game and stealing one. The Thunder have shown, at least in their last playoff run, that they're capable of playing below their normal level here or there when the pressure's not high. So I think Golden State steals one, but I got Thunder in 5. Spurs sweep the Suns. I don't think the Suns can compete with San Antonio. The Spurs' defense is too overwhelming, and the Suns don't really have anybody that can keep up with it. The Suns also don't have anybody that can stop Wemby. I think he's going to have an incredible series. Wemby in the playoffs is something I'm very excited to see. He has been hailed as a future legend and a future all-time great. So finally getting the chance to give him a moment in the playoffs, see what he can do, I think he's going to dominate. Nuggets versus Timberwolves was one of the hardest series that I had to pick. I am going to go with the Nuggets in 7 games. I think this is going to be a battle and an incredible series. We've seen these two teams face off before. Jokic and Murray, Anthony Edwards, just very entertaining every time. I do think the Nuggets' experience helps, and I think that the level Jokic has been playing at this season is a little too overwhelming. We know that he feasts in matchups against Rudy Gobert, And I think the Timberwolves are not going to be able to be as consistent as Denver will be and won't be able to come in those big spots. That leaves Houston and LA. And as much as it breaks my heart, and no matter how badly I want to pick the Lakers, I do have to go with the Rockets in seven games. I do think the Lakers push it to seven. Without Luka and Austin Reeves, it's going to be really tough. The Rockets are a very good team. They're a very deep team. They have a lot of really high-level talent. They're great defensively. Amen Thompson is one of the best defending guards. He's had an exceptional season. Kevin Durant, obviously, you can start with him. He's the driving force of that team. Alperen Şengün is, you know, kind of their go-to guy. He's been on that franchise for a couple of years. I don't think the Lakers have enough to combat that. We've got 41-year-old LeBron James who's saying he's going to leave it all on the table. And it's hard for you to find anybody who believes in LeBron James more than I do. But in a seven-game series, I don't know if he can get it done four times. I do think he can push it to seven. I think they win one or two. And now there are rumors, by the way, that Luka Doncic may be coming back. At the very least, he's going to be with the team in the first round. He had some, you know, unique treatment received in Europe, which is what the story is right now. He went to Spain to get it looked at by a different team, and now he's saying that maybe he'll come back a little earlier. If he does, that does change the equation. But I got Rockets over Lakers. So round two, conference semifinals. I am taking the Oklahoma City Thunder over the Houston Rockets in six games. I think the Rockets can give the Thunder a fight. I do think the Thunder are going to have control of the series for the most part. I don't think it'll really be in doubt. I think Kevin Durant's going to have a big game against the Thunder, probably a few big games against the Thunder. That's his old team. And I just think the Thunder are too good right now. Spurs over Nuggets in seven games. Nuggets coming off of a seven-game series versus the Timberwolves. Spurs coming off of a sweep. They're going to be more rested. Getting seven games of Wemby versus Jokic is going to be exceptional. I really hope that this is the matchup we get because I think it would be a ton of fun seeing kind of the legendary big man of the last half decade taking on the legendary big man that's on the come up. I think that the Spurs, however, as a whole, are a better team than the Nuggets are right now, even if I think at this stage of their careers, Jokic is still a better player than Wembanyama. I think that the Spurs have enough to overcome the Nuggets' kind of lack of depth. They haven't really surrounded Jokic with enough talent. I think we see some good games from Jamal Murray. I just don't think it'll be enough to take down San Antonio. And that leaves us with the heavyweight fight that everyone's been waiting for. The Oklahoma City Thunder versus the San Antonio Spurs. This is highly anticipated. 260-win teams. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the defending MVP, defending finals MVP, probably the league MVP this year, versus Wemby, the future legend, the freak athlete who can do everything, who's 7'5", the best defender in the league. Not to mention, by the way, the Spurs have beat the Thunder most of the times they played earlier this season, and Wemby missed a couple of those games and was on a minutes restriction for others. So they know how to beat the Thunder. But I don't think they're going to do it. I think Oklahoma City closes them out in six. I think that in the NBA, you have to win in steps. It's very rare for us to see a team break out onto the scene and win a title immediately. Usually you make the playoffs, then you lose, then you go on a smaller playoff run, then you lose, then you can start contending. That's just what we've seen historically. You can go through every past champion. That's typically their path. I don't think the Spurs have enough right now to beat the Thunder come playoff time. I think the Thunder are going to be better prepared for those kinds of moments because they've been here before. I think that Shai is going to know he's going to be in a flow by that point. I think we're going to have a great playoff run from him. Chet versus Wemby is going to be a fun matchup. Two of the kind of big, skinny shooting centers. But yeah, I got the Thunder heading to the NBA Finals. All right. Moving now to the Eastern Conference playoff preview. I am going to take, in the play-in tournament, the Sixers over the Magic. I know Embiid is out, but I just believe in the infrastructure that they've built at this point. Paul George playing well, Tyrese Maxey having a great season, VJ Ejikom coming on to the scene. I just believe that Philly's going to get it done. Heat over Hornets, not much to this one. Knupple and LaMelo Ball make up for a great backcourt, but the Heat are in the play-in tournament seemingly every single year. You're not going to find a better coach than Eric Spoelstra in a one-game situation, or really any game situation. So when it comes to his schematics, playing with the talent the Heat have with Bam Adebayo, I think that they'll be able to get it done. And then I've got Heat over Magic. I just don't really believe in this Magic team, honestly. Part of this is homerism, because I do cheer for the Heat. I don't really think it's going to make a difference come the first round of the playoffs, but once again, the Heat have been here before. I believe in Eric Spoelstra. I believe in Miami's infrastructure and culture. I think that they get it done. All right, so round one, we've got Pistons versus the Heat, Boston versus Philly, the Knicks versus the Hawks, and the Cavs versus the Raptors. We'll start at the bottom. I've got Cavs over Raptors in six, and I actually think this is going to be the most competitive series in the first round in the Eastern Conference. These are two teams that are fairly close. They've got starting lineups of guys that are pretty similar. They each have a good defensive front court. None of them really have a superstar. They've got good scoring guards and wings. It's pretty even, but the Cavs are more experienced. This group has gone on playoff runs together. I'd think that they end up coming through. Knicks over Hawks in five games. I don't think the Hawks are a real playoff contender. And I believe in this Knicks team. And if you believe in a team to be a contender and to go on a playoff run, then you need to at least trust that they'll handle business in the very first round. The Hawks are a fine team. As I mentioned, they've got some good depth. They've been building some pieces. They really took a step up from last year. But the Knicks have one of the most well-rounded starting fives in the league. Jalen Brunson has proven himself time and time again in the playoffs, in the clutch moments. I don't think the Hawks can beat the Knicks. I think that the Knicks get it done in five. Celtics over Sixers in five games as well. This is a rivalry we've seen for a while, or a rivalry that's not really a rivalry. The Celtics have kind of dominated the 76ers for a while. I think that this is going to be a fun series. I think Boston's going to win pretty comfortably and be in control, but I do think that there will be a few games where Philly either comes back from a deficit or keeps it really close in a way that we don't expect. But at the end of the day, there's no Joel Embiid, most likely, and Boston's the experienced team. They're the deeper team. Jason Tatum's playing well. Jaylen Brown's having the best season of his career. I don't think they can stop him. And then that leaves the Pistons versus the Heat. This one, as I mentioned when I was talking about the play-in tournament, not that complicated. I'm taking Detroit. Cade Cunningham is having an incredible season. He has really proven to be one of the best guards in the entire NBA, and I'm very excited to see it. He has taken a huge step up. He was in MVP considerations for a while before he went down with, you know, his personal injury that he had to be treated for several weeks. And since he came back, he's been playing well. The Pistons, by the way, even without Cade Cunningham, I wanted to mention this when I said I thought Bickerstaff should have won Coach of the Year. When Cade went down, they went 12-3 without him, which is a massive testament to how well that team has played, how well they play together, and how well coached they are. So all of that combined with the superstardom of Cade Cunningham, I think the Pistons are absolutely a real contender in the East. And as much as I love Miami, as much as I love Spoelstra and Bam Adebayo, I just don't think that they can keep up. Okay, that brings us to round two, which is the Pistons versus the Cavaliers and the Knicks versus the Celtics once again. So we'll start with the less interesting one. I've got the Pistons over the Cavs in six games. As I said about the Pistons, I think that they're a really good team. I think that the Cavaliers have not done enough to improve. This is kind of the same group that they've been rolling out. I don't trust a lot of their guards or their coaching in the biggest spots. So I think that they're good enough to take a game or two off the Pistons because Detroit, this is still their first playoff run. They're really figuring it out. But I don't think the Cavs are going to be the ones to stop them. All right, now the playoff series that I am probably the most excited about, other than my finals prediction, which is the Knicks versus the Celtics. These are two teams that have battled recently, and they are just so evenly matched, it seems. The Celtics beat the Knicks to go to the finals and then win. The Knicks beat the Celtics last year to go to the conference finals. It's a physical series every time. The games are close. It's exciting. TD Garden explodes. Madison Square Garden explodes. It's just, you love to see it. I would be thrilled if this matchup ends up happening, which it seems like we are barreling towards. With that being said, I am taking the Knicks over the Celtics in 7 games. I said it was going to be close. I said it was going to be a great series. I do fully expect it to go 7. And I just feel like Jalen Brunson is due to go on the finals run. I feel like this Knicks team, I talked about winning in steps when I was discussing the Spurs and how you have to kind of improve every year and knock on the door. That's exactly what the Knicks have done with this Jalen Brunson squad. They got close and they lost. They got to the second round and they lost to Miami. Then they got to the second round again. They lost to Boston, the conference finals against the Pacers. Just getting close every single time. This is a team that knows how to play together. They've gone on deep playoff runs. They are ready for these environments. I think that New York comes through. Boston, you know, they're in a similar spot. However, some of their depth has changed. They've lost a couple key role players. Jason Tatum's still kind of integrating himself into the team, even though he's been playing at a really high level. It's going to be a great series. I just trust Jalen Brunson in the biggest spots more than I do either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. So I'm taking the Knicks. If it does go 7, which I would expect it to, then anything can happen. And in that kind of environment, I just think this New York team has shown enough that they'll get it done. All right, conference finals, Knicks versus Pistons. I'm going to keep echoing my sentiment. You have to win in steps. I don't think Detroit is ready to go to the finals yet. I think that they're a very good team. I think Cade Cunningham is a great player, but you have to understand the game. You have to learn how to win. And right now, the Pistons aren't there. The Knicks are. I think that the Knicks get it done probably in 6 games. I don't think Detroit's going to be able to handle Madison Square Garden, although I think Cade Cunningham will. I don't think the rest of the team will. I think the Knicks overpower them, play great defense. Jalen Brunson crushes some of those Detroit. Detroit's got some good guard defenders as I'm talking about it, but I do expect Brunson to have a big series anyway. That one might be more for Kat in a couple games. But I've got Brunson winning conference finals MVP in the East. I've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander winning conference finals in the West, which sets up an incredible NBA finals between the Oklahoma City Thunder, the defending NBA champions, featuring a player with a claim as the best in the world. They were the youngest champion of all time last year, now trying to be one of the only teams to go back-to-back in nearly a decade. On the other side, you've got the New York Knicks, who are going to be America's favorite. The Thunder are set up to win for years. They're young, they've got great players. Everybody's going to want New York to come through, unless people just hate New York. I guess I don't know what the vibe would be. But seeing the Knicks win a championship would be exciting. It would be a great series. I think that the Knicks are a very good team, and the adversity that they've overcome over the last few years to now get to this spot and take on the juggernaut that is the Oklahoma City Thunder would be an incredible testament to what they've gone through and the kind of team that they are. With that being said, I don't think it's really going to be that close. I've got the Thunder in 6 games, but not like a close 6. Like, I don't think it's going to be, you know, 2-2 anybody's game in game 5, although that would be exciting. I think the Thunder probably end up 3-1 at some point, the Knicks steal one at home, and then the Thunder close it out. I just think this Thunder team is so good. As great as the Knicks are, I don't think you can stop Shai. I think that they have great spacing.
their defense is incredible, and the Knicks are prone to kind of getting stunted in their shooting. I also don't know if I necessarily trust Karl Anthony Towns in a championship context yet, and we know that we can trust everybody on this Thunder squad because they did it last year, and it would be a great series. I think the Thunder come through. Shea wins Finals MVP, although the Thunder control most of the way. A couple great games in there. This would be a really important win for the Thunder as well. Going back-to-back, off the top of my head, I should have prepared this in advance, I apologize, but just going through recent NBA champions, we haven't had a back-to-back winner, I believe, since the 2017 and 2018 Golden State Warriors. And before that, we hadn't had one since the 2012 and 2013 Miami Heat. So those are some all-time great teams. By the way, before that, it was the 2000s Lakers with Kobe, and then before that with both Shaq and Kobe, plus Jordan's Bulls, Hakeem's Rockets. I'm just going through NBA history listing back-to-back champions right now. I can keep going, but I don't want to bore you guys. My point is, this would put the Oklahoma City Thunder of the 2020s in all-time great company. All of a sudden, if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is sitting there at the end of the season at younger than 28 years old, still to turn 28 later this year, with two league MVPs, two finals MVPs, multiple first-team All-NBA teams, multiple first-team All-Defensive teams, that is a legendary player. And that's somebody who we're going to very quickly be discussing in the all-time ranks. He might shoot up definitely to the top 25 as I think about it. Shai's legacy, if he wins a title, is definitely going to be a topic that we revisit, because I am so curious as to where he would be ranked all-time if he gets this one done. Him versus Durant would be a really interesting conversation. Him versus Giannis, he would probably be in that back end of the top 20 of all time before he's even 28 years old. So, very exciting. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're halfway through the first hour of our show. We did our NBA season recap, going through the awards, Shai winning MVP, Wemby for Defensive Player of the Year, Cooper Flagg for Rookie of the Year. We went through our entire NBA playoff prediction from the play-in tournament all the way to the championship, where we've got the Thunder taking down the Knicks in six games. We're going to take a quick break. A lot more content for you. Heading over to the Masters after this.
Might you be buzzed when you suddenly love everything?
You guys, I love this song.
I love these nachos.
I love our kickball league. Ugh! I love this guy.
What's your name?
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzzed warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I love your car. Is this real leather?
Speech problems. Who's got them? If you're worried about that class presentation, come on down to the Oral Communication Center, or OCC for short. We offer support for students who need help with their communication and public speaking skills. We're based in the Skinner Building in room 2117 from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. But if you need a little help in the afternoon, we're in McKeldin Library room 2111 after 4 p.m. Go to umd.mywconline.net to schedule an appointment, but walk-ins are always welcome. See you there.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars.
Sign up for the weekly bike rides every Tuesday around College Park. Don't have a bike? Just rent it from the campus bike shop. Spending time outdoors has great benefits. It raises your vitamin D levels, it improves concentration and focus, helps you recover from injury and stress, and it may even mean more smiles throughout the day. To get more information, log on to crs.umd/Maryland Adventure Program. Hashtag stay active.
I can tell you about Leif Erickson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American.
Me and my friends.
somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
Stressed? Need to talk? Call Help Center, a peer counseling and crisis intervention hotline at the University of Maryland. Help Center is here to listen. No issue is too big or too small. We are here for you. Help Center offers anonymous and confidential hotline phone calls and walk-in services, free anonymous pregnancy testing, and free condoms. Call 301-314-HELP or stop by Help Center on the third floor of South Campus Diner today. You are not alone.
Won't you please, please help me?
All right, welcome back in. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to WMUC FM Radio here in College Park, 90.5. My name is Jack Wynn. You're listening to Winning Time, your favorite sports talk show here in the DMV. We just went through our entire NBA season recap, our playoff preview. I had a lot of fun with it, but now we shift our focus. The Masters wrapped up this weekend. It was an incredible tournament, by the way. One of the closest and most exciting that we've ever seen. Absolutely one of the most exciting that I've ever seen. I'm still, you know, I started getting into golf very, not very recently, but a couple of years ago. Rory McIlroy came through, won back-to-back Masters for, after what was just a great performance. It was a great weekend. But yeah, Rory wins his second Masters, really defeating any of the qualms that were there in his game. And it's just an incredible story for Rory to have this accomplishment now. He is the fourth golfer ever to win back-to-back Masters. Jack Nicklaus did it in 1965 and 1966. Nick Faldo did it in 1989 and 1990. And of course, Tiger Woods did it in 2001 and 2002. Now joining that group, Rory McIlroy. It's hard not to cheer for him, at least from my perspective, because of how long his career has been and how much he's accomplished. Some of my friends were adamantly cheering against him. I didn't really understand it, but, you know, good for them, I suppose. But for Rory's legacy, being recognized as a prodigy so young, being so successful so early on, he won four majors really quickly. By 2014, he had already completed three out of the four career Grand Slam requirements. He had won the U.S. Open, the PGA Open, and the Open Championship. However, that Masters win kept avoiding him. He choked a lead in 2011 after being up by four strokes late in the match. He had a couple other opportunities in the late 2010s and even in 2022 to come through once again, but was never able to do it. Then all of a sudden, everything clicked for him. Last year, in the Masters, trying to get the first one, had an unbelievable start, and then the same way he had previously, started to lose it at the end. All of a sudden, he came through and won in the playoff. This year, same thing happened. After the first 32 holes, or excuse me, after the first 36 holes, he was minus 12. I was Googling what the all-time record was for a Masters performance. That's how on fire he was. That was the level he was playing at through those first 2 days. And it felt like it was just fait accompli at that point, because the monkey was off his back after 11 years of pressure of trying to win the Masters, after a bunch of opportunities slipping through his fingers. He finally got it done, and now he's playing without pressure for the first time in his career. Then it started to slip away once again. And that third day went really poorly. And all of a sudden, after being up by six strokes on the field, he was in third place. A couple players took it over him, and he was able to... Young took the lead, Rose took the lead. Even Scottie Scheffler made a push against him. But Rory was able to come through anyway. And on the last day, he had a couple of birdies late. He had some really great shots and a couple really amazing putts onto the green. But either way, point is, Rory McIlroy did it again.
back-to-back champion, back-to-back Green Jacket winner. Congratulations to him. He absolutely deserves it. Now to reflect on what this Masters really was, because it was one of the closest we had ever seen. Scottie Scheffler ended up standing alone at second place with minus 11. But there were four players tied for second, including Rose and Cam Young, at minus 10. There was an opportunity at one point where I half expected six players to be tied at minus 10 at the end of the tournament, which would be the coolest playoff that we had ever seen. But Rory was able to, you know, avoid all of that. Shane Lowry, by the way, had a hole-in-one on the sixth hole of what I believe was the second day, which is just so incredible to see. You really don't see that very often, if ever. And maybe the second one to ever happen. But good for him. Boosted up his ranking for a little bit before he slid back down the standings. Just another incredible moment. A lot of really fun ones throughout the Masters. Rory McIlroy getting it done once again. All right. We're going to take one more quick break here with 20 minutes left in our show. When we come back, we're talking about the basketball drafts, both WNBA and NBA. And then we're going to wrap up with some Maryland sports content. Well, at least the first hour. We've got a lot more for you the rest of the day. Back with you after this.
Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, our friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at BestBuddiesUMD.
Are those early morning classes starting to feel like a marathon? Did Dodge strike again, towing your car when you least expected it? We get it, and we're here to listen. Whether it's academic stress, relationship issues, or just a bout of loneliness, Lean On Me College Park is here for you. Our supporters are fellow students trained in mental health support to help you through life's ups and downs. You can text our free and anonymous line anytime from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week at 301-494-8808. You can also follow us at leanonme_CP for updates and resources. Again, our number is 301-494-8808. We hope you'll let us be a shoulder for you to lean on.
All right, welcome back in. We've got a little over 15 minutes left here in the first hour of our show. We're going to talk about the WNBA draft that was earlier this week. And there were a couple really fun stories surrounding it. Starting off, of course, with the first overall draft pick, Ozzie Fudd, going to the Dallas Wings. Now, this is exciting for a lot of different reasons. First of all, from a basketball standpoint, Ozzie Fudd is an incredible player. She is two-time All-Big East. She's two-time NCAA All-Region. She was the number one AP Player of the Year last year. She was dripping in accolades. She averaged 17 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, but most importantly, nearly 3 steals a game. She's an incredible defender. And on top of that, she shot nearly 45% from the 3-point line on nearly 7 attempts a game. So, an exceptional player that the Dallas Wings are picking up. Very fortunate to have this first overall pick. For the Wings, pairing her with Paige Beckers is very exciting, because Paige is one of the most talented guards in the league, from a playmaking standpoint, a scoring standpoint, and a leadership standpoint. So when you've got two guards who are young, who, by the way, have played together in UConn and complement each other really well on the court, that's a recipe for success. And I believe that the Dallas Wings are going to start to improve this season, take some big steps. I definitely expect them to make the playoffs, and I think it'll be fun to see how far they can go. Not to mention, Ozzie Fudd and Paige Beckers played together at UConn, so they've already got built-in chemistry. And speaking of built-in chemistry, hard not to lead with this, but I prefer to talk about the basketball stuff first. Ozzie Fudd is Paige Becker's girlfriend. The two of them have been dating. They went to UConn together, and now they get to link back up in the WNBA. So that's incredibly fun for the two of them to now get to play on the same court together, to grow together as players, and to continue this kind of journey. Not that it would have changed the pick. I wonder if Ozzie Fudd wasn't the first overall consensus pick, if this would have influenced their decision, the fact that they're dating. I certainly don't think it hurt. I think it'll be fun to see how they play on the court together. Imagine the two of them have some sort of issue during the game and then just goes home with them. That would stink. Anyway, I'm excited to see the Wings play. I just want the WNBA season to get started already. Olivia Miles went number 2 overall. She is another really great player. And I think that she's going to have a really big impact on the league. Just wanted to shout her out as well. A big trade happened in the WNBA as well last night during the draft. Flaje Johnson was traded to the Storm during the draft. This one took people really by surprise, and because they drafted her 8th overall and then immediately shipped her out for what I didn't think was really fair compensation, but I guess they had their own reasons for it. Maybe it has to do with cap space, maybe it has to do with future rights. I'm not sure. And of course, if we're talking about the WNBA draft, we should talk about the NBA draft. Because as the regular season wrapped up, we officially know what the draft lottery odds are going to look like. And this is one of the most highly contested draft lotteries that we've ever seen. Because unlike a lot of years where there is a top prospect everyone's vying for, there are 3 top prospects that everybody's vying for. You know, you remember some of the most important lotteries when Zion Williamson was a prospect and everyone wanted to know where he would end up. When Wemby was a prospect and everyone wanted to know where he would end up. Even this past year, with Cooper Flagg coming out of Duke, people viewed him as a sensational prospect, which he was and has proved to be. And that draft lottery was a big deal across the league. This year, you've got 3 players who could have been the first overall pick in any other year. You've got AJ DeBonsa, the wing from BYU, who is a remarkable player. He's a point forward. He can control an offense. He's a great defender. He can shoot. Doesn't really have a lot of weaknesses in his game. You've got Darren Peterson, the guard from Kansas, who was playing most of the season banged up and was still one of the most effective and efficient scorers in the league. He is a dominant offensive force, and he's not afraid of any moment. You've got Cam Boozer, the forward from Duke. He reminds me a lot of a guy like Paolo Banchero. He's big, he's imposing, he's strong, doesn't really play great on the perimeter, but really good inside, and a very capable defender as well. These are 3 incredible players, and seeing who ends up at the top of the draft lottery is going to be very notable for the future of the league. Because whenever you have somebody who people view as a superstar coming in, some team's just going to be adding them. We saw the impact that adding a superstar had on the Spurs and on the Pistons. They were bottom of the league last year. All of a sudden, Cade Cunningham and Victor Wembanyama have completely turned these franchises around. Any one of these 3 guys could do that for any one of these franchises. So let's talk about some fits, and let's talk about some of the teams that are going to have the best chance at the lottery. The way the NBA works, and granted, this is subject to change, not this year, but in future seasons. The NBA really wants to prevent tanking because there are so many games throughout the season, and it's so obvious when teams have kind of given up. They start playing guys who aren't that good. They start resting their best players or their superstars, and it just creates a really bad product for the league, for the fans, even for just the business of the NBA because you're not bringing in nearly as much revenue. The games aren't as exciting to watch. You can go to, a Wizards game for very cheap, and then you turn around and go to a Knicks game for $500-$600. So being competitive is a benefit. And for the NBA, they want to de-incentivize tanking. They're going to be implementing a lot of new rules, probably this upcoming offseason, about how to prevent it. Not sure what those are going to look like. They floated some ideas that are not well received by fans per se, but I imagine Adam Silver is not just going to sit back and do nothing. Anyway, the system that's currently in place allows for the top three teams, not the top three teams, the bottom three teams, the worst three teams in the league, to have an equal chance at the number one overall pick. In addition to that, the worse you are, the higher your floor is. Let me explain what I mean by that. Take the Washington Wizards. They were the worst team in the league this year. They had the worst record. They were abysmal. They have a 14% chance to land the number one pick, just like the Pacers, just like the Nets. All three of them have 14%. However, since the Wizards were the worst, they cannot end up any lower than fourth. Which means fifth. Worst case for the Wizards, they end up with the fifth pick. Now the Pacers are second. They have an equal share at the first pick, 14%, but they can't go any lower than the sixth pick. The Nets are third. They're equal with the Wizards. They can't go any lower than the seventh. So it kind of progresses in that way. Not to mention all the teams after those top three have lower and lower odds at number one. Make sense? Makes sense. The worse you are, the better your pick's going to be, but it's not in such a way that it incentivizes you to be bad, because 14% is not a lot. So, a couple things that I would like to see play out. I do think that AJ Dibaza would be a great fit with the Wizards. I think that that is the clear thing that makes sense. I think that the way the Wizards are building their team right now, they could use a wing, especially a young wing with a lot of talent. They've got some good rookie guards. They've got some good young size. Alex Sarr having a very good season. Even Juju Reese coming onto the scene well. But Bob Carrington, Keontae George, some of these other young Wizards are still trying to fill out the roster. Then you've got the bigger players. Anthony Davis, who is a dominant big man. Trae Young, who is a playmaking and scoring guard. The perfect complement to that is a wing with defensive shooting and playmaking abilities, which is exactly what Dibaza is. Darren Peterson, I do think, should go to the Nets if I had to pick the best fit for him. I think that the Nets are in the process of a massive rebuild. They really don't have a lot of promise or opportunity. Not a lot of young talent there. Michael Porter Jr. is the only engine on that entire team, and that's not good. So get Peterson in there, let him work, let him learn the game and become one of those dominant players. I think he can have a Cade Cunningham-type career arc. Struggle a little bit at first as the team gets going. Then once you get enough talent around you, the right coach, all of a sudden you can really contend. And that leaves Cam Boozer with the Pacers. I think that one makes a lot of sense. Most people expect Boozer to go to the Nets because they think Peterson's a better quality player. But if we're just talking about fit, I think that Boozer with the Pacers would be really good. He would replace, you know, the absence that they have at big man. Tyrese Halliburton would love to play with a guy like him who can run in transition and play well inside. So those are what I think the best fits are. Also, I want to give a shout out to the Los Angeles Clippers for saving us. If they had finished outside of the play-in tournament and were in the top 10 somehow, all of a sudden the Thunder would have had a pick in the lottery and would have had a chance to scoop up one of those guys. And the Thunder are the best team in the league, so that would have been disastrous. Thank goodness the Clippers were good enough to evade that outcome. All right, we've got a little over 5 minutes left in our show. We're going to take one quick 30-second break, and when we come back, we're talking about Maryland sports with you after this.
Ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars.
Sign up for the weekly bike rides every Tuesday around College Park. Don't have a bike? Just rent it from the campus bike shop. Spending time outdoors has great benefits.
It raises your vitamin D levels, it improves concentration and focus, helps you recover from injury and stress, and it may even mean more smiles throughout the day. To get more information, log on to crs.umd/Maryland Adventure Program. Hashtag stay active,
cherry stem. I can tell you about Leif Erickson. I know all the words to De Colores, and I'm proud to be an American.
Community Forklift is a nonprofit secondhand store for home goods and building materials. Shop sustainably for low-cost modern and vintage furniture, art, lumber, hardware, and more for your home or project. Moving out? Consider donating your reusable materials. Community Forklift is located 10 minutes from College Park down Route 1 in Hyattsville. Follow Community Forklift on Instagram to see the latest thrifted finds and visit www.communityforklift.org. for salvage store hours.
Are those early morning classes starting to feel like a marathon? Did Dodge strike again, towing your car when you least expected it? We get it, and we're here to listen. Whether it's academic stress, relationship issues, or just a bout of loneliness, Lean on Me College Park is here for you. Our supporters are fellow students trained in mental health support to help you through life's ups and downs. You can text our free and anonymous line anytime from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. 7 days a week at 301-494-8808. You can also follow us at leanonme_CP for updates and resources. Again, our number is 301-494-8808. We hope you'll let us be a shoulder for you to lean on.
All right, welcome back in. We are in the final minutes here of the first hour of our show. It has been an eventful one so far. We went through our entire NBA recap. We gave you our playoff preview. We discussed the Masters, the historical implications of Rory's back-to-back win, as well as what was one of the closest tournaments that we had ever seen. We talked about some draft news in the WNBA, Ozzie Fudd and Paige Beckers reuniting on the Dallas Wings, forming what's probably going to be one of the most lethal backcourts in the WNBA. We talked about the NBA draft, the big three prospects, A.J. DeBonta, Darren Peterson, and Cam Boozer, and which the worst three teams they would fit the best on. It's been a fun conversation so far, but we're going to keep it going. We're here to talk now about Maryland sports, and we're going to talk about the Maryland men's lacrosse team, because we don't do a lot of lacrosse coverage on this show. We're going to start with men's lacrosse, because this week, they officially clinched a share in the Big Ten title. Now, what that means is whichever team has the best record at the end of the season holds the Big Ten title, then the Big Ten tournament is played with the championship. So, Maryland, as it currently stands, is the only team with one loss in the conference. They're 3-1 in the Big Ten. They play Johns Hopkins this Saturday for a chance to hold number one outright. If they lose, they'll share it. If they win, they will be the sole, holders of the Big Ten title this season. They will also be the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament when it does come around. So a lot on the line this weekend, but they had a big win to put themselves in this position. Taking down Rutgers 12-2, Maryland was ranked 9th going into the game, Rutgers was ranked 19th, and it was just an incredibly dominant performance. This was the lowest scoring game by a Big Ten opponent in Maryland lacrosse history. Maryland had never, since they entered the Big Ten, they had never held one of their conference opponents to this few points. Just 2 goals in the game. Ripple, by the way, had 8 saves during this one, and at one point held Rutgers scoreless for over 35 minutes. So, an incredible performance all around. A 6-goal second quarter really put it away. Eric Spanos had 2 goals in that run. Eskra, by the way, had 4 total points, 2 goals to assist, a great performance from him. And all of this comes following John Tillman officially getting 200 wins with the Terps a couple of weeks ago. He has really built this program strong, turned Maryland into a dominant force in the lacrosse field. I'm excited to see how the game goes on Saturday. With our last minute, we're also going to shout out the women's lacrosse team. I believe they're still undefeated. They've been ranked number one for the entirety of the season. Kathy Reese is truly a legend. She is the greatest women's lacrosse coach of all time. And having these two legends at UMD with the Terps is just really endearing, and it's really powerful for this program. Creates kind of a dominance aspect of the sport. All right. That's the first hour of our show. We've got a really exciting second